Please turn to Matthew chapter 11. We are concluding this chapter this morning, Matthew chapter number 11. And our subject, our title of the message, God's gracious call. We will read together from verse 27 to verse 30. And it reads as following. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom he chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. Last week, church, we ended on a high note. We ended on a positive note where we see that God has revealed his truth to his people. He has revealed this truth to a people so that something may happen to these people. We have seen that God is gracious and kind in doing so. Nothing forces him. No one can force him to do so. We have seen that God is merciful and loving towards sinners, that he will open, as it were, the gates of heaven that sinner may rush into heaven. He graciously reveals his Son. He reveals his Son to a people. He reveals this kingdom, and this kingdom is his Son. He reveals this to a sinful and hell-bound people, that these people may believe in him and be saved, that they may be the citizens of heaven. So what we have before us this morning is something even more special, church. Something we should celebrate as Christians. That is God's love. That is God's heart. That is God's grace that we see towards us this morning. That God will graciously call us into his heaven after revealing the kingdom to us. If you remember very well what we spoke about last week, you will remember that we were coming from a context whereby in the previous week we saw something of a threat, something of condemnation pronounced upon whosoever will reject the Son of God. We saw Jesus saying, "Woe unto you, Capernaum, woe unto you," saying to these people, there is something waiting upon them. There is a prospect of hell waiting upon the people because they had not believed in Christ. We were coming from that kind of a context. But what I want you to realize right now is that having said all these negative things, if you will, having preached this message of condemnation, there is also a message of reconciliation with God before us. And that is the message we have this morning. A message of reconciling with God, whereby Jesus will reconcile a sinful man to a holy God and bring them together and make them one, so that the other may call the other to the other and say, "Father," and the other will call to the other and say, "My son," or "My daughter," or "My child." Jesus reconciled the two enemies. God and man are at enmity with one another because of sin. But through his gracious call, we will see the message of reconciliation. So, we are going to look at three gracious truths about God's gracious call towards sinners destined to heaven. Firstly, I want us to see Jesus' authority to save. That is the first thing that I want us to see. Jesus' authority to save. Church, it is very important to realize that God's gracious call depends on Jesus' authority to save. It is all about Jesus' authority to save. There will be no call unto salvation if Jesus has no authority to save. Let's read together verse number 27. It says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Church, the people in Jesus' time had their hope on the Pharisees, the teachers of the law at the time. The Pharisees who claimed to be wise and understanding. We spoke about that last week. They were wise and understanding in the things of this world. And the people had begun to believe that actually the Pharisees are the wise and understanding. The people began to believe that actually God had handed over all things pertaining religion and salvation to the hands of the Pharisees. They believed that the Pharisees were the men in control, the men in charge. You must follow the religion of the Pharisees unless you will be outside heaven. Because that's what the Pharisees claimed among the people. But here is Jesus turning the tables around. Here is Jesus putting himself at the center of the whole salvation issue. Here is Jesus saying to the people, it is time they change their focus and their thinking. It is time they find the truth. The Pharisees are not in control. And the only way that the people may change their mind is to listen to the truth. And Jesus is the truth. He is not only telling the truth, he is the truth. They have to look upon Jesus and receive this good news that comes from Jesus. So Jesus breaks this news to these people. After he had said in verse 25, if you look at verse number 25, he said God was his Father. He was saying there, as I mentioned last time, that he has a special relationship with God, the relationship that no man has in this world. Jesus claimed to be equal with God, but also humble and obeying God at the same time as his Son. So having said that, my Father in God is my Father in verse number 25. Now he turns and says, this very same Father has handed over all things to me. The Father has given me authority above all things. The Father has put me in charge. All things are in the palm of my hand, says the Lord Jesus Christ. All things are subject to me. Therefore, there is no room for anyone and any religion outside the Lord Jesus Christ. If you notice very well, church, Jesus is drawing a very fine but eternal line here. Jesus is drawing a line that no man can pass. Jesus is the man in charge, regardless of what people think of him. They might have called him 2 weeks ago a drunkard, if you remember very well. They might have called him all those words, but he is the man in charge. He is the one in control. That is why he could call people to salvation, because he is in charge. So verse 27 gives us the idea that there is nothing that is outside Jesus' authority. You can think of anything. All things has been handed over to me. Nothing is outside Jesus' authority. But I want you to notice this verse. He says, nothing is outside him by saying, all things has been handed over to me. Now, we must think, what are these all things? Church, you know what is all things? All things is all things. That is what it is. All things that you can think of. So there is no need to bring a list of things. All things are being handed over to Jesus. But here, we're speaking in the context of salvation. The matter, the issue of salvation. The matter, the issue of people for people to be snatched from the garbage of sin unto God's marvelous light is being handed over to Jesus. In other words, no one else can save people but Jesus. Especially now that he has come into the world and he's revealing himself to the people here. Because before, they were listening to John the Baptist say, someone is coming Now Jesus has come. He says, all things has been handed over to me. All peoples, you can think of anybody, all peoples are delivered to the hands of Jesus. All angels, bad or good, are being delivered at the hands of Jesus. Everything is subject to Jesus. Your very life, your very soul is at the hands of this Jesus. Your eternity depends on this Jesus. That is why the Bible tells us that at the name of Jesus, all knees shall bow. All things in heaven and on earth shall proclaim that Jesus is Lord. Why? All things are being handed over to Jesus. Jesus, church, has the highest authority on earth and in heaven. That is what this is about. And those who follow him need to know that Jesus is powerful. It will be worthless for people to follow a Jesus you don't know whether he is powerful or not. That is why he says, all things have been handed over to me. I am powerful. I'm in charge. I'm in control. Not only will he save you, not only will I save you as you come to me, but Jesus, because all things have been handed over to him, Jesus is able to save and to keep you in salvation. That is good news, church. You are saved by Jesus and you are kept by Jesus. You don't keep yourself, because if you will be given the opportunity to keep yourself, you will lose yourself. You will be lost. But the good news is, all things has been handed over to him. The salvation of man and the sustainability of that salvation is being handed over to Jesus. Listen to John chapter 6, verse 39. All this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. Jesus has been given authority of all things, and that which is given unto him, he will lose none. That is the message that is communicating to us this morning. That is the message is communicating to the crowd as well. The main idea, what the people needed to know, what we need to know as a people of God is this. Listen, church. God firstly appointed a mediator between God and man. That's the first thing. That is how salvation works. Please learn. God firstly appointed someone who will stand in the gap, someone who will reconcile the people with God. That is what he started to do. He appointed a mediator before he will appoint people unto salvation. God handed over all things to Jesus first, before Jesus will call people to salvation. That is what we see here. Jesus and Jesus alone is in charge. So all things happen according to the will of the Father who has given all things to Jesus. The verse says, all things has been handed over to me. Please look at that verse. Please notice what is happening in this verse. This verse is in the past tense. This verse is not saying all things will be given or all things will be handed over to me in the future. No, church. All things have been already handed over to me. This is very important. It tells you, you follow now. Jesus is asking or is challenging the people to follow him today, not to put things on hold, and says, one day when things have been handed over to this Jesus, I will follow him. It communicates the fact that Jesus is not actually trying to have power to accumulate numbers of people. Jesus is not trying to accumulate a number of people to follow him. Jesus is not looking for an army. All things are handed over to him. He doesn't need. So Jesus is here for the souls of men. If you remember what we've been saying with the Pharisees, they believe in numbers. So they will go out and preach their gospel throughout the country so that they accumulate people to themselves. Jesus is looking at the multitude. They are rejecting him, but he's saying, all things have been handed over to me. regardless the rejection of the gospel, regardless the emptiness of good churches today, all things have been handed over to Jesus. Let the Pharisees accumulate numbers to show power and glory for themselves, but all things have been handed over to Jesus. Our salvation begins with that personal decision from God to save. All things are handed over to Jesus. God decides to save. We don't decide to save ourselves. He decides to save by handing over all things to Jesus. What does this communicate? We need to look upon this one, the only one, in whom all things are handed over to. This is the Jesus we need. The powerful Jesus. The Jesus who comes from God. The Jesus who have all power in his hand. The Jesus who is capable to save. Because all things are given over to him. God deliberately hand over things to Jesus. I want you to see the picture of the Father handing over things to his Son. To have all things handed over to you, church, is great power. That is why we're communicating here. Jesus has great power. But someone said, with great power comes great responsibility. That's what I heard. So Jesus has great power. Now, since he has all these things handed over to him, comes great responsibility. Back in the day, when your father passed on, when the father passed on and you are the firstborn in the house, he hands over all things to you. What did that mean? It meant that all power and responsibility is at your disposal. In your hands. The father is giving the responsibility of the house to you. You are responsible for whatsoever goes out. You are responsible for whatsoever comes into the house. All things are handed over to you. You see the principle there? Now we've got a new president. All things has been handed over to him. Great power, great responsibility. What does this tell us, church? Saving souls needs great power. But keeping this soul saved needs great responsibility from the person who saves the souls. Just imagine if it was given to me to keep you saved. How difficult was that going to be? I can't even keep myself saved. It is great responsibility to this Christ. God is giving over these things to Jesus. It may sound like a nice thing to you. All things are given to him. But it is responsibility. He's responsible. All heaven and earth hangs on that balance, on the hands of Jesus. Whatever Jesus do affects hell, it affects heaven, it affects the earth. That's how powerful this Jesus is. So having declared then that all things are handed over to him, look at your verse. Jesus says, no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Church, what is Jesus doing here? Jesus revealed the truth about God. That is the message we get here. Jesus reveals truth about God, but God also reveals truth about Jesus. So, it is impossible for a person to know God if the person does not know Jesus. And it is impossible for the person to know Jesus if the person does not know God through Jesus. Another paradox. One needs to know God through Jesus. And one needs to know Jesus through Jesus himself. There is no way. You cannot separate knowing the two. Some people just want to know God. You have to know God through Jesus. Only Jesus reveals God. And God reveals Jesus. If you read the Bible, church, from Genesis to Revelation, it is God's revelation of Jesus. God is revealing Jesus throughout the whole Bible. But as you listen to Jesus revealed by God, you realize that this Jesus is actually revealing God to us. Jesus teaches us of who God is. The message then to the crowd is very simple. The message to us this morning is very simple. Every person needs Jesus in his life. Regardless of your personal judgment on Jesus or personal understanding of Jesus. They said he was a drunk. That does not matter. They needed Jesus. Regardless of their own personal opinion of Jesus. Why do they need Jesus? Because all things have been handed over to this Jesus. In other words, church, we as Christians need to depend and trust on this Jesus. Because all things have been handed over to this Jesus. So God here is showing us love. This is love, church. Remember, love is revealed when a father will give or will leave an inheritance for his children. So God is giving Jesus all things as his inheritance because God loves Jesus. But in loving Jesus, God also shows that he loves the world because Jesus will come and save the world. That is why John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave with his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life." This is a matter of love. Handing over all things, giving Jesus the responsibility of heaven and earth is God's love for his Son. So this gracious act of God, giving over all things to Jesus, this gracious act of God is to hand over all things to Jesus, but also it comes as an act to call people to come to heaven. And that is what I want us to see in the second verse. Now that Jesus has all things handed over to him, now that Jesus has the right and the power to all things, what does Jesus do? Instead of doing what I would do if all things were handed over to me, maybe build a good city for my people like Nimrod, or maybe establishing a nice place for my children because all things are given over to me, what does Jesus do? He doesn't do that. Jesus called on sinners to come home. So secondly, I want us to see Jesus' call. I want us to see that Jesus' call is a specific call and is a specific call to a specific people. Jesus' call is to a specific people. That is what I want us to see. This call is specific. This call is precise. This call is direct. Verse 28. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest." I want you to look at this word. "Come to me, all who labor and heavy laden." Jesus here issues an invitation to all who labor. Not one. All who labor and is heavy laden. And church, I want you to see the fact that Jesus is using that word, come. Please notice, I have said last week, our salvation depends on God. God does the salvation thing. That's what I said, remember? I said he chooses, he appoints, he makes sure you get there. But there is something that must be revealed today before we get this thing wrong. Jesus used the word come. The word come shows us the something of human responsibility that is involved with salvation. God does not just appoint and then you just get to salvation. Something that you must do as a person. There is this word here, come. This word tells us that each and every one of us, each and every soul, man, woman and child, must come. Each and every one needs to put it upon himself to move forward, to come to Jesus, to come to salvation. Each and every person must what? Must come. So you must make a choice. You must take a step. You need to come. That is what this is about. So there is this responsibility that we have. Those who are tired of labor, I will explain this labor. Those who are heavy laden, those who feel the burden upon themselves, those who are tired of this life and the sinfulness of this life, they don't just fold their hands and sit at home and wait for an angel. They must come. They must draw near to God as God is drawing near to them. They must come. Someone needs to take charge of his life. That is what this is about. You don't give your life to someone else. You come. 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 He says, come to me. You don't just come to something else. You come to me. You are tired of your yoke. You are tired of this heavy burden that you have upon you. This spiritual yoke that is upon your shoulders. You need to take it upon yourself to come to Jesus. Coming to him is not automatical. You don't go to bed and wake up the next morning with a sticker that now you are a Christian. No, church. You don't look at your wife and say, oh, my beautiful wife goes to church. She's a Christian. Now I'm a Christian because we are married. You don't look at your parents and say, my parents are Christians. Now I'm a Christian. After all, I was born in this Christian family. No, you take it upon yourself. You come. Young men, you come. Young lady, you come. Men, you come. Woman, you come. Nobody can do it for you. You come. He says, come to me. You sense the openness of the hands of Jesus. You sense the open heart of Jesus. You sense something of a nice and a beautiful embrace that you will get when you come. He says, come. Come to me. God has made sure that you hear this message. That is why Jesus says, come. He's making sure that the people hear. The people must not ask, so what must we do? We heard woe unto us because we don't believe. What must we do? They're hearing him now. Come. He says, come. Come to me. We are heavy laden. Take it upon yourself. Move forward. Come to Jesus. Choose this Jesus. Reject the things of this world. Because if you reject coming to Jesus, you know when you reject coming to Jesus, what you're communicating? You're communicating that it is a lie. That there is a heavy load, a heavy burden upon your shoulder. It is a lie. But I can tell you what a lie is. It's when you tell a lie and you believe your own lie. Because when you say there is no heavy load upon you, you are lying. Every one of us has or had a load upon himself. So he says, come. But I want to explain this burden that Jesus was talking about here. Because there is a sense in which this burden is sin. We come because we have this heavy load of sin upon us. But as he was talking to these people, the burden was not just sin. Yes, it was sin, but not just sin. The people had been lied to by the Pharisees. So there was this heavy load of the law of God upon the people. I will explain. The Pharisees had taught these people so much law, so much do's and don'ts. So it was like a heavy load upon the people. Don't carry this on a Sabbath. Don't do this on a Wednesday. Don't do that on that day. Do this to be like that. Don't do that to be like that. There were so many heavy loads from the law of God that the Pharisees had put upon the people. Actually, if you read history, they tell us that the Pharisees, over and above the law of Moses that we find in Scripture, the Pharisees had also came up with their own man-made laws, 500 and over laws that they were putting upon the people. It was like a heavy burden. You couldn't do anything. It's like living in this country where a friend of mine was. Where was he? Saudi Arabia. I just met him a few days ago. He comes from there to visit. He's telling me all these do's and don'ts. You don't even know what to do. You're wearing this kind of a shoe, they take you to prison. You're wearing this kind of a clothes. No, it's a woman's clothing. You are trying to make yourself a woman. You're deceiving people. They arrest you. There's so much laws. I'm making an example. Probably those people understand why they're doing. But there was so much of the law that was a burden upon the people. But you might think that is only something that happened that time. But I want to tell you, church. I want to promise you, church. It is happening today. The burden, the heavy load, is not just sin. It is also the false gospel that is preached in the false churches. The do's and don'ts that are being told to the people. Christianity has become a cult. You must speak words to be free. You must speak words to be happy. If you don't speak these words, you will not be happy. You must say, I'm not a tail, I'm a head.
Because apparently if you don't say, I'm not a tailor, I'm a head, if you don't say those things, nothing will go right for you. You must find something and lose something, or everything in your life will be bound. The heavy burden. You must speak in tongues so that God knows, so that God hears you better. Speak in tongues and deceive the devil, that the devil may not steal your prayers before they get to God. Ah, heavy burdens. If you don't speak in tongues, church, in those churches, it looks like you're a minor Christian. I used to be there. Whoever tried to speak in tongues among us here knows the reason you tried. You wanted to be a better Christian. A heavy burden upon you. We're not talking about whether speaking in tongues is wrong or right, but the way the people are putting it upon the people. You're becoming something minor. You must wear this kind of a clothes because you are a Christian. If you don't wear these clothes, God is not on your side. You must have this kind of a status to show that you belong to a Sonto and Labazaloan. You heard those words. Sometimes they don't say it, but how they portray it's a burden. So there's a lot of burdens. At the time it was the law, and today it's still something that has to do with the gospel of God. Christianity has become a burden upon the people. So Jesus is here to call people out. He wants to say, come out my people, come out from here, come out from Babylon, come out from that oppression, come out from your sin, come out from this law that is oppressed upon you. There is something in the manner of this invitation. Please look at this invitation. Jesus says, come. And I want to notice, after this come, and up before this come word, there is nothing else that says, go home, clean yourself. There's nothing that says, go search your heart and take out some sins in you and then come to me. That is not the manner of this. Jesus is not giving you a choice of doing something for your own soul, in your own soul. He's just saying, come. You don't have to look what is next to you, behind you, in front of you. He says, come. That is the manner of this. In other words, you leave everything behind. You come. You forget the things you have heard. You come. You look upon this Jesus, the author and the finisher of the faith. You come to him. And you say, nothing in my hands I bring, but simply to thy cross I come. You come. Church, why should one come to Jesus? Why should one come to Jesus? Why should one heed or take heed on this invitation? Well, Jesus answered for himself. John 14 verse 6, remember? Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The reason why Jesus says come, he is the only mediator. That is why we spoke about this thing, the first point. All things has been handed over to him. That is why he says, come to me. He didn't just say, come. Come to me. He puts himself there. You need to come to him. Because he is the bridge. He's the one who fills the gap between man and God. Come to me, or else you will sink deep into the hole. That is the manner of this invitation. You don't come clean yourself. Come to me, because I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is making this gracious invitation because these people have been claiming to want God. The reason why people are religious is because they all want God. Nobody will say, I'm religious because I don't want God. Somehow, in their own heart, they want God, although they want a God of their own imagination. These people were following Jesus, not taking heed of the gospel that he was preaching, but they wanted God. The Pharisees were teaching these wrong doctrines because they wanted God. They just got it wrong. So Jesus is calling because people want God. You need God in your life, but you cannot get to God unless you come to him through Jesus. That's why he says, come to me. Don't try to get to God. You'll not get there. Come to me. Do you hear that, church? You come to Jesus to get to God. So he's the only way to the Father. It is through coming to Jesus. It is through recognizing your burden and your heavy load of sin, and you come to Jesus.
Everyone who's laboring and is heavy laden, whether you recognize it or not, you come to Jesus. You are heavy laden and you are burdened. So this call is to all people. This call was not just for the people at the time. It is to all people. That is why, church, it is important that sometimes we should pause as Christian and we ask ourselves the question, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? You pause and ask. When we sing that song, we don't just sing to get through the song. Listen to the words. When it says, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? You sing in your heart, have I been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Am I washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom come, will my soul be ready? Come. The people had to stop then following the Pharisees. That is what this is about. Come. Stop following the teachers of this world. The people who loved John the Baptist, the few who were baptized and they loved John the Baptist, had to change their mind too. Come to Jesus. Everybody needs to come to this Jesus. We don't come to a specific person. You don't come to a pastor. You don't come to a specific church. Church, let me repeat again. It does not say come to Sovereign Grace Bible Church. I would love you to come to Sovereign Grace Bible Church. But it doesn't help to come to Sovereign Grace Bible Church unless we have come to Jesus. This call says, come to Jesus. It is Jesus that we need. No Pharisees, no scribe could lift up the heavy burden of sin upon the hearts of the people. They themselves needed someone to save them. No pastor, no church can lift up the burden of sin upon the hearts of men. They themselves need Jesus to save them. Come. You need to come. Church, there is a condition that cannot be escaped. That is the suffering of the soul. The future suffering, torment of the soul because of the heavy load of sin and religiousness upon the people. That's why Jesus says, come. This call to come, it's a call to all people. It was the right time that time. It was the right place for this call. It is today the right time and the right place for the very same call. This call remains a call to the right people at the right time, every time. Come. So we see that this call is to a specific people. Who are these people? I don't know them by name. But they are all heavy laden. They all labor. In other words, they've been trying so hard to deal with matters of salvation in their own. Now they have to come to Jesus, that Jesus may do these things for them. Only if you're heavy laden by sin, only if you have been suffering the false doctrines of this generation, come. The other thing that I want us to see here, I want us to see the powerfulness of this call as we look at this call. The call is powerful. Somewhere in John number 6, Jesus says, all that the Father gives to me will come to me, and I will lose none. Remember that verse? So this call is powerful because all things has been handed over to Jesus. So those who are appointed to eternal life, they may resist this call for a little while. You may resist this call for a little while. You may hold back and don't want to come, but I want to assure you, this call is powerful. This call that says come can accomplish its purpose. And he's calling today, come. This call is powerful. Why is this call powerful? This is not the call of a man. Remember, this is the call of the Son of God, in whom all things have been handed over. So you may resist this call, but at the end of the day, God will open your mind and your heart and you will hear this call. How is God going to do that? He's going to show you a revelation by night? No, church. God is going to preach the gospel. Listen to the gospel truth. Come. This is what this is about. Come to Jesus. Come. Well, the third thing I want us to see, this gracious call is for a specific purpose. I was saying this call is to a specific people, those who labor and heavy laden. But this call is for a specific purpose. Jesus is not calling us, in other words, for anything else except what I'm going to tell you today. It's for a specific purpose. Don't have anyone else lying to you. This call is for a specific purpose. verse 29 and 30. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find the rest of your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want you to see the grace and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in these words. In the midst of that awful rejection that he received from the people, instead of Jesus being angry with the people, instead of Jesus taking a trip to another area, Jesus is telling the people what they need the most. Why must they come to him? Why must we come to him? This is what he's saying here. He says he's offering rest. That is the purpose of the call. God is offering rest. Someone is tired, must find rest. So Jesus claims to know what the people need. Jesus claims to know what is in your heart. He knows in your heart you need rest. So he's offering the people rest. That's all that he's offering. Rest. But this is not just the normal rest. It is the rest of the soul. Jesus is not calling people to come to church and relax and have rest and have their nice aircons and have a dancing team singing for them and they're just relaxing there. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is offering the rest of your soul. Something is happening in that soul. The soul is at work. You are laboring and you are heavy burdened in the soul. It is not a matter of the physical, but the spiritual matter. The rest of the soul. Remember what the psalmist said in Psalm 42? The psalmist was crying there, saying, as the deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. But then in verse 5, he says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Why are you suffering? The soul is suffering. The soul is troubled. So why? He says then, hope in God. That is the only way. Hope in God, for shall again praise him, my salvation. Church, there is a point whereby the soul is in turmoil. The soul is suffering within. And that soul can only find rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, even when we find this rest, like I was saying, it does not excuse us from working. This rest does not say, now Christian, don't do hard labor. We spoke about this last time, that your labor will pay off. Your labor will follow you. Remember the verse in Revelation chapter number 14? Blessed are those who die, and they die in the Lord right now, for their labor will follow them. So Christian labor in this world, physical labor, spiritual labor, but this labor of oppression that is upon your soul, this turmoil that is upon your soul, this crying out for peace with God, for peace with one another, only Jesus can put you on that rest. And you need to find that rest today. That is the purpose of this call. Come to me, find rest. That's the short form of the verse. Jesus is offering rest to a people. We need the rest. We need to rest in him. All that the soul needs is the rest of the soul. The soul needs to find its rest in God. So in other words, our souls are crying out. Our souls are crying out to God. Our souls are crying out that we need to come to Jesus. In the same Psalm 42, in verse 2, the psalmist says, my soul thirsts for God. My soul thirsts for the living God. When shall I come and appear before you, O God? The soul is thirsty. What we just read today, John chapter number 7. What did Jesus say about thirstiness? He said, what did he say about those who are thirsty? All you who are thirsty, come to me. That's the word again. Those who are thirsty, come to me. The water that I will give to you will become in you life-giving water. Those who need rest, come. So the purpose for this calling is not to join a church or to make a big army. It's to come to Jesus for the rest of your soul. We need rest of the soul. We need God. So this invitation, church, is to those who are beaten down. Those whose souls are cast down. Those people who have no hope. They are carrying heavy burdens. The burdens, they are carrying their burdens of sin and guilt. They labor. They've been trying to deal with their soul's problem in their own human ways. They've been trying to deal with heavenly things in an earthly way. They've been trying to solve their problems, but they never found peace. They never find rest. These are the people we're talking about today. Because solving spiritual things in a human way is actually impossible. It is very impossible. We need to be set free. Someone needs to be set free, and the only person that can set you free, the only one that can take this heavy load upon you, whatever the load is the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is something of a paradox. Please look at your verse again. Remember I said last week what a paradox is? Something that sounds confusing, but it is not a confusion. We've been talking about a lot of paradox here. There is something of a paradox in this verse. Look, Jesus says, you are weary, you are tired, you are heavy laden, come to me, I will give you rest. But guess what? When I give you rest, I will give you a yoke upon you again. So, Jesus is promising to take a yoke and give you a yoke. But only by getting that yoke from Jesus, you find rest. How can I put a heavy load, a yoke upon me, but be at rest at the same time? Jesus says, you come to me, I'll give you a yoke. I'll take the yoke that is in you, I'll give you another yoke. So, you're not going to have an easy journey in this world. You're not going to have a yokeless journey, a loadless journey. You're not going to have things easy. You're not going to do whatever you want to do when you come to me. I'll still put a yoke upon you. I'll still be in control. I'll still be in charge. I'll still try to tell you what to do and not to do. He says, come, I'll give you a yoke. Wow. Take a yoke, give a yoke. So when you come to Jesus for rest, you come to get another yoke. So Jesus is promising here that he will take the yoke of law upon the people. What the Pharisees have put upon the people. He will take that away. He will take the yoke of sin upon the people. But he will give them a different yoke. What yoke is he going to give? The word of God again. But in a form that comes in Jesus. In a form that is only a form of Christ. Jesus is going to take a burden upon you and give you the law of God again. But now, he says this burden of mine is easy. Why is he saying it's easy? And this, it is light. Why is he saying so? Because he's not just going to say the things to do and don't do. He will write them in your heart. In the power of your heart. Jesus will write his law. That is why his yoke will be easy. You will be saved first before you heed the word of God. So what we see here is that Jesus calls first, then put a yoke upon you. Jesus calls, then he gives you his word in your heart. But the Pharisees, they gave you the yoke. Then they wanted you to qualify yourself by putting that yoke upon you, then come and become one of them. You see the difference? The Pharisees give so that you belong to them. Jesus wants you to belong to him, then he gives. He gives you a new heart. He gives you a heart of flesh. He gives you his word written upon your own heart. But one more thing I want you to observe from this gracious call. Jesus does not only offer rest. Look at your verse. He does not only offer rest. He does not only offer a light burden. He does not only offer an easy yoke. He says, learn from me. Do you see those words there? Learn from me. So, he wants people to know more of him. The Pharisees never wanted people to know more of God and know more of the Messiah. But they wanted people to know more of the law and what to do, what not to do. Jesus says, you learn from me. You know more of me. I want you to have a better understanding of God through me. I want you to know what is right and what is wrong by knowing God. You first learn from me. Jesus is offering to teach us his ways. Teach us his ways. To guide us. Jesus is offering to show us the truth. The truth that is written in his word. He's offering to reveal it to us. That is why he said when I was quoting last week, these things are revealed to you. Come, learn from me. Why should people learn from Jesus? Because the Bible says, my people perish because they lack knowledge. If Jesus will not teach us, we will perish. We need to learn. That is why we come to a gospel preaching church. Why do we come to a gospel preaching church? Yes, we love the pastor, but that's not only that. We come to a gospel preaching church, we want to learn from Jesus. If we learn from Jesus, we learn God's way. We will then live according to God's way. His yoke is easy. In other words, his law is easy. We have to come to him first. That is why his law is. Those who think that Christianity is difficult, it is because they are not Christian first. But why is this yoke easy? Because Jesus says, I am gentle in heart. You have a gentle Savior, church, who will not put upon you heavy burdens, who will not be like the devil who put hateful and hateful things upon your heart. This is a gentle Savior who is meek and lowly. This is the one whom God promised in the book of Zechariah back in the day. Says, he will come to you, O Zion, gently in heart, riding on a donkey. Remember this verse? You can read it when you get home. That is Zechariah 9, verse 9. You can write it down. This verse is still going to be fulfilled. Jesus, we will see Jesus riding on a donkey, but there is a word there. He is lowly in heart. He is gentle. So Jesus is showing the people. He is teaching the people according to scripture. Jesus is revealing himself to the crowd. He is the only one who is gentle. The one who has promised to come as a gentle Savior. He says, I am gentle in heart. Only this special kind of a person can save a person and give a person the rest of the soul. No one could do that. Jesus has all that the sinner needs. It says all things has been handed over to him. Therefore, we need to seek who? We need to seek Jesus. We need to trust who? We need to trust Jesus. We need to depend on Jesus. We need to hear the voice of Jesus and follow Jesus. So, let us lay down our heavy burdens of sin. Let us lay down our religiousness. Let us lay down every yoke that entangles itself to us. As the scripture says, let us lay it down. The only way to lay it down is to hear the voice of God. Come. Let us come to him. What does it mean to come to him? Believe in him. Jesus is calling people to believe in him. Enjoy heaven with him. Enter into his eternal rest. So in whatever you do, make it a point that you find rest in Jesus Christ. Come to him. Remain in him. Rest in him. And this is possible by knowing him through Jesus, knowing God through his Son. Come. So what are we going to do, church? Most or all have come. So what does this have to do with us? We have come. This has to do with remaining. I said Jesus calls and keep. Now we have come. Now remain. But the next thing that you need to do, you need to call on others to come. Everybody needs to come. Never despise this gracious call. Never ignore this gracious call. Never put this call on hold. This call is important. The gracious call of God. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest, the rest of your soul. Learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Come. Church, come. Remain in him. Never reject him. Your future depends on him. Your future depends on the step that you take. Come. I can ask, have you come? But I want you to ask yourself that. If you have not come, as I pray, come. Come. If you have come, as I pray, remain. Let us pray. Our precious Father, our God, our Lord of heaven, blessed Savior, here is your word, an invitation to the cross to come. Oh Lord, we cannot come on our own. Unless, oh Lord, you reveal these things unto us. Reveal these things unto us. Give us the power, oh God, to come. grant us the gift of repentance. Give us clarity, O God. Show us Christ. Show us your Son. Help us to come. Those who have come, help us to remain. May we remain in you. May we find our eternal rest in you, the rest of our soul. May we enter into the rest and the joy of the Lord by coming through your Son. Thank you for revealing your Son to us. Thank you, O God, for giving us the eternal bread of heaven, that if we may eat this bread, we may have eternal life. By eating this bread is to come. That, O God, we may believe in your Son, and believing in him, we may have eternal life. For your Son did not come into this world to condemn the world, but that the world may be saved through him. Give us what you have promised, O God, the heart of flesh. Reign in our hearts. Sprinkle the waters of the gospel, as it were, in our hearts, that we may come, that we may depend, that we may remain in you, that we may teach our children to depend and remain in you, that we may tell each and every soul to come. Help us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. The church says, Amen.